Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Well, hello, everybody. Today, we're actually in between two things. We're at the end of our well-being series, and we're gearing up for a new series next Sunday in the book of Philippians. I'm also excited to say that from next Sunday, we're going to be live streaming our services here from the city centre site. So there'll be live hosting and live preaching, and it'll give us the chance to interact with what God's doing real time in the services, both morning and evening. We can't welcome congregation back just yet, but the preacher and the team will be here. And then as God's working, we can bless what he's doing and interact live in that moment. So that's happening from next Sunday. Just I want to give you some perspective today as we're finishing up one series and launching into the next. Some perspective that I hope will help us for the next few months. And then as part of this talk, I'm going to be handing over to Mike Pilavachi, who's actually recorded a message for us in the Vineyard family. But as we start today off, I want to just remind you that we've been looking at this subject of well-being. And there are two assumptions that we've had at the heart of this series. The first assumption is really captured in Jesus' words in John 10:10. He says this, "The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come," Jesus said, "that you might have life and have it to the full." That word there is zoe. It's this idea of participating in the very life of God. And so at the heart of our well-being series has been this invitation to participate in the life that Jesus has prepared for us. This life where we get to experience God's shalom, his order, starting to permeate its way through the different parts of our thinking, our physical health, our choices, our relationships, our spiritual vitality. That's what's been the assumption, that life in its fullness, it has to be unapologetically when we center on and surrender to Jesus. But the second assumption we've had is that all of us, if we say yes to Jesus in our hearts, can hear from him. We can be led by Jesus in all of life. In that same passage that we've looked at in John 10, it goes on to say this in John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice." He's using the illustration of a good shepherd leading sheep. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life." John 10:27. So we've been looking at physical, emotional, relational, mental, spiritual, financial, even vocational well-being. And during the well-being series, we've been ending each talk with this question. I guess you spotted it by now. The question we've really ended is something like this. What is the one thing that Jesus is inviting me to either know in my head and my heart or to do? Is there one thing in this topic that he's speaking to me about? Jesus can and does want to speak to us and to lead us every day. That's the reality. That's the invitation for us as followers. We're not called to be fans of Jesus, loving him from a distance with a cheer and a wave. We're called to be followers of Jesus, listening and letting him lead. Now, so many of you have said how helpful this series has been and that God's been working in your life in different ways. As you've made a little change here and a little change there and a little change there, it's just combined and converged to bring some real traction and growth in your faith and actually an increased sense of well-being. And it's lovely to hear those stories. I also want to speak because I recognize that the end of lockdown is now in sight. I had a lovely email from Jamie and Helen, and they were just saying they were discussing Rosie's talk in their small group. And this is what Jamie and Helen said as they kindly wrote to me just this week. They said, "We were focusing on Rosie's talk on spiritual well-being, and we discussed how easy it would be to move out of lockdown without actually thinking about it. And before we knew it, we could lose potentially all the good parts. And as a small group, with regard to our spiritual well-being, we're all going to think about these three following questions. What do you want to take forward? Are there spiritual disciplines that we've enjoyed that we don't want to lose, such as having a walk and a chat with God every day? What do you want to discard? Are there things that we're doing that are not as healthy for us spiritually? And what do you want to put in place or embed? Are there things that you've been meaning to do and you can start putting them into place right now while we're still transitioning, so that they become a habit before the 21st of June or whenever that end of lockdown date is?" And that was from Jamie and Helen in their group. As we think about that, as we think about the end of lockdown and what changes might come, I want us to think about two words. I was in a Zoom call this week with a number of friends, about 120 screens, and it was all the pastors in the Vineyard family. And somebody was there, a chap called Steve was speaking, and he was just reflecting on a couple of words. And I wanted to share them with you because I think they resonate with our situation here and now. These two words were stop and reset. And they were descriptive of what's been happening for us. Stop and reset. We've all experienced a hard and sudden stop. To stop is to come to an end, to cause to come to an end, a cessation of movement. Do you know, it's a bit like a car when you slam on the brakes, it comes to a sharp stop. That's just what happened to us about a year ago. None of us expected it. Everything as we knew it stopped. I mean, for many, work ramped up and was frenetic, but generally life around us stopped. Hospitality stopped, entertainment stopped, restaurants stopped, church in its current form stopped, flights were grounded, sporting events stopped. It was a definitive stop. And a stop can be designed or allowed by God to interrupt our activities. Any of you who have the privilege of being grandparents or godparents or parents, you know that if you want to get your kids' full attention, sometimes you have to stop them doing the very thing they're doing so they pay full attention to what you're saying. And I think in this, the Lord has been wanting to get our attention. One of the most often commands that's repeated of Jesus is this command that says this: those that have ears must hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not what the Spirit said to the church, but what the Spirit is saying to the church. We see that in Mark's Gospel, we see it in Revelation numerous times. I think there's a lovely part in Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19 in the Message that says a familiar passage in maybe a fresh way. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Stop. There's been a divinely allowed stop to come to our lives. And what is he doing? I think one of the things that's happening in the stop is a reset. Reset is really when things are set again or set differently. You know, if you've got your phone and you get a glitch in your phone, you can do what they call a soft reset. Switch it off and on again. And usually that resolves most things that are going on with the phone if there's a problem. But if there's a really entrenched problem or something that's more serious, then you have to do what's called a hard reset or a factory reset or a manufacturer's reset. And in that process, it goes back to its original design, its original preferences. Now, what takes place in a hard reset, it's a bit more challenging because you lose all of your personal preferences that you've accumulated over many years. Everything that you've created so that it can be just the way you like it is actually lost in a hard reset. Font sizes, particular volumes and ringtones that you like, background pictures, which apps are on your home screen, all those Wi-Fi preferences, they're gone when it goes back to a hard reset. It goes back to manufacturer's settings. It goes back to original design. Maybe life has been, for many of us, just the way we like it. Church has been just the way we like it. But there's been this hard reset. There's been a reset, friends. And maybe some of the accumulated preferences that we've picked up along the way have been wiped. And God, I think, is calling us as his people back to primary purpose. God has initiated or allowed a reset for us as his church. And the stop gives us the chance to go maybe in God's intended direction for us as individuals and for us as a church family. Now, at this point, I want to hand over to a good friend of the Vineyard, Mike Pilavachi, who's recorded this brief message for us here in the Vineyard.
Hello, my friends at the Vineyard. And it's a joy and a privilege to be sharing with you briefly. There are a few things that I would love to say as we're still at the beginning of 2021, when we've had a quite different and in many ways very difficult 2020. And what I've been thinking about and meditating on is what kind of church do we want to be as we come out of lockdown? And I pray that we will sooner rather than later. What kind of church would we love to be? And I'm talking about vision and values. And vision and values are important. Without vision, the people perish, says the proverb. And values is simply, if vision is where we're going, values is who we are. Who do we want to be while we get there? Our DNA. Now, some people say you don't need to describe your DNA because your DNA is who you are. Well, you don't need to describe your DNA if you're in a physical family, but actually in a spiritual family, actually describing it, actually naming it, this is who we want to be, is part of the process of getting there. And I think that we need to really go back to knowing who we are and why we are the way we are, and because that informs what we do. I'll try and explain as we go. We want to be, I want to suggest, first of all, Jesus-centered, biblically based, and spirit-led. Now, that's nothing new. We've always wanted to be Jesus-centered, biblically based, and spirit-led. But I believe in these days, as we come out of lockdown, to make it our aim to focus on Jesus, to look to Jesus, for it to be all about Jesus, for us to be, first of all, worshippers of Jesus, to put him before everything, and to be biblically based. It's so, so important that everything we do is rooted in Scripture, is rooted in God's Word. And in these days, the temptation is coming so often for the church to cut the corners on what the Scripture says. We are not here to judge the Bible. The Bible is here to judge us. The Bible is here to shine a light on our hearts. We need to trust the Bible, trust God's Word as his ultimate revelation of himself and also his ultimate revelation of the life he calls us to live, the best life for us. And then spirit-led. Oh my, if there's any days, it's vital to be spirit-led, it's these days. If there's any time that we need to hunker down and we need to go back to basics and say, Lord, I won't move until you move. Like the people of Israel in the wilderness, when the pillar of fire moved, they moved. When the pillar of cloud moved, or the cloud moved, they moved. When they stopped, they stopped. Let's not move ahead of God. Let's follow his lead. And that's not just about spiritual gifting. It's about discipline. It's about choosing. It's about saying, we will seek your face. We will seek your face for strategy. We will seek your face for direction. We will seek your face for what we're going to do next. I love a little quote from John Wimber from years ago. He said, I'm not against strategy. I'm not against planning, but only after the Holy Spirit has spoken. So let's be disciplined to seek his face. Then, as part of that, to be disciplined to listening to his voice, to take time to listen, to make listening an art. I think in much of the evangelical church, and if I'm honest, what's known as the charismatic church, we've lost the art of listening. We've lost the art, some would call it contemplation, of being still and knowing he is God, of standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. We're so enamored with Mount Carmel that we spend too much time in our hearts there and not enough time on Mount Horeb. On Mount Carmel was the great victory that Elijah had. But you know, straight after his victory, he went into the depths of depression. He was frightened. And God took him to another mountain. If Carmel was the mountain of victory, Horeb is the mountain of encounter. And the Lord put Elijah in the cleft of a rock, and then came a great earthquake, a mighty wind, and a roaring fire. But God was not in the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. And I bet Elijah was especially tempted to think that God must be in the fire, because God was in the fire on Mount Carmel. And the temptation is, let's just repeat what was successful last time, when God says, no, the pillar of fire's moved on, the cloud has moved on. And then came a gentle whisper, a still small voice. And that still small voice was the beginning of the answer to all of Elijah's questions. Let us spend lots of time on our Mount Horeb, on our place of encounter, that we would see more victories on the Mount Carmels that we face. So let us listen, but listening for a purpose. It's listening not just to get a word, but it's listening in order to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He also said in the same passage, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Let us be a people who will listen for the purpose of obeying. And obeying because we love. Obedience is the ultimate act of worship. And as we seek to do that, and as he sees that we obey when he speaks, we will hear his voice more and more clearly. More and more clearly, we will discern what is him. But we need to still our hearts. God speaks in the stillness more than he does in the noise. That's why he takes us to desert places.
I've got no doubt that what the enemy intended for harm, God has intended for good. I was listening to an interview with a chap called Ed Stetzer, and he's the professor and dean at Wheaton College. He's an author on Christian leadership. And he was doing a bit of a cast his mind back to a point in history that he could remember. And it was about 50 years ago. And it was a moment in the USA, and it actually became a global moment. And it was the Jesus People movement. And it was actually a time in culture where there'd been a backdrop of race riots. There'd been the assassination of Martin Luther King. There'd been the Hong Kong flu, which had killed about 4 million people globally. It was a period of massive cultural change and both tension, civil unrest and turmoil. And into that context, God started to move in response to his church getting mobilized. Over a period of a few years, hundreds of thousands of people came to faith in Jesus. This Jesus movement that sprang up in the late 60s, 68 onwards, was the thing that gave birth to movements like Calvary Chapel, and the Vineyard came from that time as well, out of that Jesus movement. There was a move of God, and there was a move of God's people towards the mission of God. Ed Stetzer, thinking about that time, said this really interesting phrase, thinking about all the cultural shifts. He said, God used the moment we were in to refocus us on the mission we were on. I was on a Zoom call early this week, and we were just chatting about all the things that God is up to. And this time has opened up new opportunities for new ways of thinking and being. I chatted to a couple who just planted a church in the last few months. They've moved to a new community. You'd think, what a time to plant a church, a nightmare, you'd think. Well, by being outward focused, by trying to bless their neighbors and serve and do some compassion outreaches in their area, and then having a bit of social media presence and campaign, they basically have managed to start a church completely online with people they've just got to know through loving their neighbors and serving their community. Who'd have thought it even 12, 18 months ago? You know, we're praying in a nation and we're praying as a church for a move of God. We want that more than ever, that in this time of stop and reset, that there's something going on beyond us, beyond our stories, that makes a difference in our city. Isn't it interesting that places where the church is vibrant and growing, they haven't got some of the props that we have and rely on? Church historians would say that the most rapidly growing church at the moment in the world is the church in Iran. It's the fastest growing, but they haven't got the things that we rely on, buildings and offices and big budgets, and it's mostly run by lay folks in their ordinary lives. That's the place where the church is blossoming. It's not contained by the normal things that would contain it. We've experienced a stop, there's no doubt about it. We have the opportunity to move out of that stop into normal activity. But what is God wanting to reset in your heart, in my heart, in us as a church? Maybe some of the accumulated preferences that we've acquired over time. I like things my way. I've got used to it in a way that kind of meets my needs and just is good for me. Maybe that's been reset and wiped and we're back to original purpose and original design. What is God's original purpose and God's original design for us? What are the maker's preferences? I want to end with what Mike Pilavachi says. What kind of church will we be as we exit lockdown? Please God, Jesus-centered, biblically based and spirit-led. Jesus-centered, biblically based and spirit-led. I think the Holy Spirit is moving in this time. And my invitation is make time for God. God wants to meet us as we turn our hearts to him in prayer. That as we have the freedom to exit from lockdown, there's been a reset. There's been aligning with primary purpose, what God has called us to be and do as a church, to help people, thousands of people come to hear the good news of Jesus, to follow him, to experience life in all its fullness and to make a difference. And we want to see places and spaces open up where people can come and encounter God, whether that's online or in a room or in a lounge or in a home or in different places in our city. I think it's a moment to not simply think, I can't wait till we go back to normal, because that's not the invitation. The invitation is, God, you've hit a reset. You've stopped us. What is it you're wanting to do in our hearts? Mike Pitt have actually put it this way. Let's spend lots of time on our Mount Horebs, in our place of encounter, listening for a purpose and listening in order to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, because obedience is the ultimate act of worship. God speaks in the stillness more than he does in the noise. We're on the edge of lots of noise. Noise could fill our lives. We could fill our virtual worlds with all sorts of preferences that might not be God's best for us. Let's take time in this next few weeks and months just to listen to the leading of Jesus and the voice of the Holy Spirit in that place of stillness before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're for us. We thank you that you want to speak into our hearts and into our situation. And we pray that as we have the opportunity to exit lockdown, that you would lead us as your people. We'd be biblically based, spirit-led, and Jesus-following. Come, Lord Jesus, even in the stillness, as we turn our hearts and our lives to you now, will you speak to us? And would you help us align with your primary purpose for us? You've called us to love you, to know you, and to make you known. And we want to align our lives with your primary purpose and your calling for us as your sons and daughters. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.